Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
We back, baby. We so back, baby. On this fine Sunday afternoon in British Columbia, Canada.
I'm starting my old song here.
I knew it was coming.
What you gonna do today?
It wouldn't be the same if you didn't do some sort of song.
Oh, Sunday service. Ooh. Crack 'em if you got 'em.
Crack them if you got them, son.
Anson thermal view, right? Anson predator view right now. I got to go fix that camera.
Making this noise? No, or sound? Looking for my next prey. Predator. Predator doesn't talk, though, does he?
No. He goes...
Yeah, he's got the weird tented... What are they, jowls?
Yeah. The weird... That's what I'd call them.
I would call
jaws.
Them jaws. Jaws or like snaggle jowls.
It's probably like an insect name for it, but...
Mandibles?
Mandibles.
Is that what it is?
I think so.
Did we just work through that together?
Yep.
Guys, welcome to the Cowboys Can Fan Sunday service.
Woo!
6 Sundays. Crack them if you got them over there, BW1.
Had to get you on that intro.
No, get me on the intro. We are 6 Sundays away from NFL football. How the hell does that make y'all feel up in there? 6 Sundays, man.
Makes me feel one less Sunday more excited, let me tell you, than last week.
It's just boner. Is boner one of them?
Sundays are just so fun during the season. They're fun right now, too. Like, showed up early, played a little CFB 25.
Yep.
Didn't do any pre-show work. Just kind of gamed out, and here we are.
Well, we don't, and anyone who comes in and listens to this show, first of all, we appreciate you. But, you know, we're out here not doing our due diligence, coming in with opinions that are unfounded and without statistical evidence, and that's how we roll. Actually, I'm just kidding.
Well, we do statistical evidence live. We do live.
We do it live.
CeeDee Lamb got signed today. We're like, he did?
Yeah. Yeah. That's... Add it to the board.
Yeah. I guess we're talking about that. Yeah. For anyone that he didn't actually, I'm just saying that's...
Actually, really funny on that, it just made me think, like, and I'm wondering out there, in chat, if you're listening,
wonder,
put in your answer as well. But if this happens to you, but we all have friends who are not like diehard Cowboys fans, but when any news, like when CeeDee Lamb gets re-signed, and I say when, someone's going to send me or us all a message and be like, CeeDee Lamb signed.
Yep.
It's like you don't hear about him anything. And I'm not saying that's bad or not. I just love that like people know how invested you are in the Cowboys and
they want to
the news to you, right?
or it's the reverse one too, when any kind of like funny cowboy meme comes out after we lose and like 3 days later someone sends you a meme that you've seen that same day and they're like,
you just have to laugh.
And you know, I say, hey, look, and I'm thinking of this one guy that always sends it to me days later. I'm like, dude, like I'm in the trenches. I've seen like 8 of these already.
You're like, I already made this meme in my head.
Yeah, I'm on to week 8 already.
Yeah, I'm already, I've memed out.
And this one just goes out to the bandwagon boys because we're champion of the world! Both rocking our Capital Boost shirts.
So what, if I was a wrestling champion in the WWE, what belt would I have? Because you guys are the tag team champs. Intercontinental?
You would be going
hardcore?
For...
Hardcore belt?
No.
European. I'm going back. I'm going way back. Okay. You got the European.
Barry was totally off. You're more of a classic Arn Anderson style wrestler. You'd have like an NWA world title. You'd have like a regional title that was from the like the old like 70s, 80s.
Okay, I'm alright with that.
And I did say in my question WWE belt.
Yeah.
The current WWE belt, because it seems like every single fucking person has a belt.
Is there just
right
too many
now.
Of them?
I don't know. I haven't watched wrestling, and I know that they've probably eliminated the belts that I liked. I liked Intercontinental.
I think they still have
Razor
that,
Ramon.
They brought the IC back.
Oh, did they?
Yep.
Well, my actual good wrestling knowledge stops around 2004, maybe.
Attitude Era.
We talked about it. We were getting flack about that.
We grew up in the Attitude Era. With that video that we posted saying that we were forged in the Attitude Era, someone commented, "You guys are going to get flamed so bad for this."
I know. Like,
What do you mean flamed? Flamed like that forge I was in?
I got two words for him.
Yes. Suck it!
Suck it!
That guy will get DDT'd. He will get Stone Cold Stunnered, rock bottomed.
Yeah.
Power bombed, razor'd edged.
I was going to say
all the good ones.
I think you'd be like an Arn Anderson brawler, but then you'd also have in your like repertoire, your tool bag, if you will, you'd have like a Swanton bomb or something.
Just like one
top rope, like
one pay-per-view a year.
Yeah, you just like leap off the top rope and go through a table or something
that'd
that.
That'd be good.
That's what I see.
Well, guys, we're 6 weeks out from the NFL season. We're only a couple. The Cowboys training camp starts in a week and a half, I think.
I know.
We're July? It's like next weekend, isn't it? Opening ceremonies for Cowboys camp is next Sunday
Saturday? Speaking of training camp, go ahead and watch that Oxnard Ultimate Guide video on our channel if you haven't checked it out. Yeah, give us a boost and a like on that one.
We should, we just posted it yesterday. Check it out. It's to try to get everyone that hasn't been to Oxnard and is trying to figure out what it's all about. It's a very informative video. Kind of not usually our style, but maybe something that's going to get added to our repertoire of videos.
Yeah, it's one of our it's more of just a I don't know, like how to enjoy training camp 101. It's specific for the Dallas Cowboys, but you know, if we get any of those Green Bay Packer fans that drop in here once in a while, the pack attack.
Yep. I'm
talking about you. You know, it's probably relevant in ways to a lot of training camps. So if it's something you're going to do, highly recommend it. And we will be there this year, August.
2 weeks, man. August 5th to 9th. We're rocking the streets of Oxnard.
You said it's not really our style. I feel like the next one that we do, we should try to incorporate a bit more of our kind of CanFan flavor into it and make it less nerd bot.
No.
I think there's a place for nerd bot. I think there was good CanFan in there. They had us crushing beers.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like a little bit of humor, quick humor here and there. I kind of forged this one on my own to try to get it through and then kind of went back and forth. I think that if we were, the three of us were to write the next one, we could probably incorporate a lot of that CanFan-esque style that we're talking about. This is a little behind baseball for those of you, but this is Sunday Service. We're allowed doing that.
I humbly disagree.
No, I was waiting for that.
But not saying that because we're going to do those anyways. This one had a specific point, and it was to share how to get the max out of your training camp experience. Now, I thought it was like entertaining. That doesn't mean that it was funny, but you certainly picked up on our vibe.
Yep.
I thought so. So
for sure.
There wasn't any sideways beer chugging though. There's a lot of like
there was some beer chugging. You got some beer chugging.
You got some beer chugging, and there's just no sideways.
No sideways
can exploding, can piercing beer chugging.
There was a crack. The booth girl.
Boots also did a crack 'em.
We did. Yeah, Boots did a crack 'em. So there's crack 'ems. I mean, it had elements. I don't think it was modern day Star Wars in that it was completely kind of not what we were used to.
I agree.
It was within our realm. So.
Do, baby. Kudos. That's what we do.
Guys, what do we got up in the realm of the Cowboys going on today?
Nothing.
All right, we'll see you guys Wednesday on the main event. And if you know any Cowboys fans or people that hate the Cowboys.
save that because I do want to tell those fans something.
And you shared
a post
yep.
in our chat, and this is something you said you wanted to I don't know if you want to kick off with it, but I think it's appropriate.
No, it's a good kickoff. ESPN, and actually, shout out to the Star Access. I poached this off of his Instagram. Go check him out. I poached this post of his. That's ESPN's top 10 NFL quarterback rankings. And they have the top 10 guys that ESPN thinks. And I'm just going to read through them. Patrick Surtain, Denzel Ward, Sauce Gardner, Legarius Sneed, Jalen Ramsey, Trent McDuffie, Jar Alexander, Jalen Johnson, Devin Witherspoon, and Derek Stingley Jr. What is wrong with this list, guys?
There's no Cowboys on this list?
Well, specifically.
Not specifically, no Deron Bland or Trevon Diggs.
Which should both be on the list.
Both should definitely be on
the list. I wouldn't care if they were 9 and 10, but both those dudes should be on this list. Yes, Jalen Ramsey has been really good, but he wasn't good last year. Deron Bland was a better corner than Jalen Ramsey last year. Trevon Diggs, sure, he was injured for the majority of the season last year. He should still be up there, I would say, at 4 or 5. My only explanation for Trevon Diggs not being up there is because he was out for a year. But come on, you got to give the guy, he had 2 great seasons prior to his injury.
Yeah, I think it's just, I don't disagree with these names. All of them are quality CBs, high quality CBs. But it is odd that I think at least Bland or Diggs should be on
one
there.
One of them should be on here.
Yeah, I'll take Ken.
If you get beat in coverages or whatever, the reason for them not being on there, and Ad, sorry for cutting you off, but Deron Bland has another flavor. He can pick the ball off. He can score touchdowns. That in itself, the guy was in running for Defensive Player of the Year last year.
Yeah.
If we're talking about straight up stats from last year, I would even say if you just take up like Derek Stingley Jr. or Devin Witherspoon and you put them against Deron Bland's stat line, who has a better stat line?
Well, I'd like to. Could we throw up PFF and just throw in maybe just the last three, like Jalen Johnson, Devin Witherspoon, and Derek Stingley Jr.?
I'm not contesting the top 5. I'm just saying like these bottom of the barrel guys who are all solid CBs.
Yep. That's what I mean though. Like, I can't see them not being at 9 or 10, right?
Yeah.
You're telling me that they're 11 and 12 in ESPN's mind, but I don't know. Jargs Alexander, he had an okay season. I still think Deron Bland was better than him.
Derek Stings.
Derek
Sting my butthole.
Derek Sting my butthole.
Okay, so I'm just seeing if this is going to work. Okay, Kirk.
Oh, WayJ with the freaking stat. The statistician.
Well, look at Deron Bland. He's 2 big, times the okay. bigger size of those guys.
It'll probably center it up.
So this shows you right here.
Oh, there you go.
It shows the green on the guy that's been better. He's green in every single thing.
Yeah, that's good.
Minus sacks.
Yeah. Sacks, which is not really what you're looking for your CB. And not only that, he's...
Oh, yeah, this is kind of weird. Like, it doesn't have...
Well, this is...
It goes into our argument, though.
I guess you can look at this. It breaks him down. Only Sting... Oh, I got to be a... Well, here's Deron Bland and
Stingley Jr.
Stingley J.
So, Deron Bland, more tackles... He had 123 combined tackles, 4 tackles for loss, 14 interceptions. Granted, they played in the same seasons.
I think this is
their careers.
This is
combining.
Yeah. Yeah.
But still. They're still from 2022.
Yeah.
Deron Bland has 14 interceptions. Stingley Jr. has 6. And you're telling me that Deron Bland shouldn't be on the list? Just from that stat alone.
Totally.
He took the ball away 8 more times.
Just for that set alone, and then you just look at tackles, too, 91 to 63.
Right? QB hits, it's just, I don't know.
Interceptions, you'd think, would have the highest weight on them.
You would think that, but every time we argue with people online about our CBs or anything like that, it's about how many yards did someone give up. So I don't know what the yardage like that someone
that's
had.
It has relevance, but it's hard because... Well, sure, that guy's player may have rushed for, one a good example is CeeDee Lamb when he had that amazing 11 interception season. And there's a few plays, where he got scorched and a guy went for a touchdown and probably put like 70 yards on him. But the safety, and it's not the safety's fault, but the safety also botched his role on that defense. And that's why the player, beat... He beat
So they have.
He beat Diggs.
But
he dug him out.
Stingley Jr., PFF's pretty much the standard, gold standard for comparison. Stingley Jr. was an 81 overall, and Deron Bland was a 90.
Okay.
So in my mind, Stingley Jr. needs to be skidded off that, and Deron Bland replaced at 10. At least 10. So
at least.
If we're going, anyway, if we're just going from last season, people playing.
Well, how the fuck else do you judge it? How else do you judge a top 10 list?
But I'm saying, because we were talking about Trevon Diggs, if he should be on that list.
Well, fuck Trevon Diggs.
Yeah,
Deron Bland's not even on the list.
I know, but I was agreeing with you just to get yelled at.
Well, it just makes no sense. This list makes no sense, and that, I'm done.
I can understand Diggs. He didn't play.
That's understandable. Yeah. He didn't play. That's fine. I can understand that. The Deron Bland not on the top 10 CB list makes zero sense.
Well, get their email. I'm writing them. I'm going to write
Dear ESPN, you mother effs.
Alex again. Hey.
Alex. Hey, comma.
Dear Pat McAfee, your guys' list at ESPN is hogwash.
Hogwash.
Oh, well, when we clip this, we're going to be tagging. We're going to be tagging everybody. Yeah.
Pat McAfee, you need to answer for this right now.
Anyways, that's all I wanted to talk about at this. We can move on.
That's all I had to say about that.
Sweet, sweet, sweet. Okay, well, the next thing that we have on the docket is the CeeDee Lamb, and was it today that this kind of broke, or yesterday?
Yesterday.
So CeeDee Lamb and Dak Prescott, there was a rumor out that the negotiations have progressed in a positive way for both of those players. And I believe what I read was CeeDee Lamb was closer to being signed than Dak Prescott, I think. Like, how they know this?
The Cowboys are going to prioritize
right.
CeeDee Lamb's contract over, number one. Cowboys rumor, CeeDee Lamb contract extension is the number one priority over Dak Prescott, which it should be. I think we're all in agreement that it should be.
Yeah, it's really rough for me because...
Unless you need to free up money using Dak's contract.
Well, this is the thing
unless that coexists with each other.
Right, and it all comes down. I think you have a better chance of negotiating with Dak throughout the season and signing him. Let's say you can only pick one. Locking up CeeDee Lamb is probably the better move because I'm assuming that Dak wants to finish his career as a Cowboy, just like if it can work out. So I think that gives you a little bit more of a. You can use that to your advantage.
At least a little bit. Well, Dak already said he'll play, right? He's not holding up.
He's not holding up.
CeeDee's not even going to go to camp until he's under contract, a new contract.
And as wide receivers should, they can be a little bit more prissy about that stuff.
Told you we're getting both signatures. We're getting both signings while we're at Oxnard.
Oh, man.
It's going to happen. I'm calling it right now. We picked the perfect time because camp goes through a little bit, and then stuff starts happening, and then the Cowboys brass is going to see how much they need CeeDee Lamb in that offense. And they're going to sign him. So we'll probably be there when CeeDee's... I hope we're there for CeeDee's first training camp practice.
Ever.
There was also... Yeah, I think at the end of the day, once one goes, the next one's going to come shortly after.
What are you guys' thoughts? Like, do you think Micah needs... I don't think they need to really even sign Micah this year.
Push. You don't worry about Micah and you take him up on his fifth year. You take the fifth year and then you start negotiating.
Yeah,
you
use that time to then do it.
And it's better for Micah because I think he'll probably have a breakout season, even though seasons have been pretty decent. I think this is a season where he takes it up a notch.
What's a breakout season for Micah, you think? Like a stat line for him?
Like just showing up in the second half of the season of the playoffs.
That's fair. Playoffs.
He's consecutively, the last 3 years, he's gotten over 13 sacks, right?
Yeah.
What was the stat line? So
I think he had 14. I think it was like 13, 13 and a half, 14. I'm pretty sure was his stats from like year one was 13, year two is 13 and a half. I think year three was 14.
And then who's eclipsed him the previous, like what's the kind of the top end of the stat? 20? Sacks? 20 sacks.
Yeah. Like there was multiple players that were in the high teens, low 20s. The record's like 22 and a half.
Yeah. I definitely don't think he's going to break it. I don't think coming out for him is going to be breaking that.
You know,
sack
record? Do you need him to break it? Man, no. How about breaking the Cowboys sack record?
Breaking the Cowboys sack record would be good.
Which I think it's 20 and a half by DeMarcus Ware.
I think just get, like if
21
we,
and a half.
If
maybe.
I guess it's almost like this is one of those things where it would be more of an eyeball thing. So if you're noticing him second half of the season coming out and making those big plays, that we typically haven't seen a lot from him, that's where it's going to feel more of like a breakout season. And that's what I'm saying. It's kind of like a weird, we'll know when we're watching, it's like, holy shit, Micah's playing. And stat line, regardless, he's showing up on these plays. That's, I think, what's going to happen. I think he's going to be that guy who really carries the defense through the next part of, after the bye week or second half of the season.
So on top, like, sacks are great. I'd be happy if he just kept it in that 13 to 14 window, which he's done. But I'd love to see him. So his best tackles for losses was in his rookie season. He had 20. Last year he had 18. So I'd love to see him improve on that 25.
Yep.
Just meaning he's getting in the back more and tackling the running back, right? So still doing the same movements. Quarterback hits, his most was last year where he had 33. His lowest was 26.
Yep.
So he's in that range. And I'd like to see him, again, eclipse that 35. So if his sacks remain the same, but we see improvements in tackles for losses, we see improvements for quarterback hits, it to me, those are the two things go. If those go down, but he gets 15 sacks,
It's kind of a wash.
It's kind of a wash because you're like, okay, great, you sacked the quarterback one more time.
Yeah.
Which, hey, I'm not going to complain about, but you also did not really affect the game other than
what about,
sacking the QB.
What about 20 sacks and those other ones go down?
Oh.
You got to take that.
Take it.
Oh.
All day.
Yeah, of course.
You got to take
that. I'm not going to complain.
That's a significant
improvement. That's a big increase. Yeah. That's like a 28% increase.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
But like,
so you're going to take that all day.
So like, let's just see if we see more activity from Micah the second half of the season. His sack amount could go easily between 16 to 17 sacks for the season, and then a lot of his other stats would go up a bit more.
No,
than
his,
what they currently are, right?
Well, he's gone from 13 sacks year one, 13 and a half year two, 14 year three. So if that continues, it's 14.5.
Right.
Yep.
Or 15, like
it'd be or 15, like, 15. Sure.
Yeah. But his pattern right now is just every year a 0.5.
Yeah.
So by the time he retires,
by the time year 11, holy year, what would that put him at year 11?
You know what? It's another interesting one on there too. He had in his first two seasons 3 forced fumbles each season, and then last year he only had 1 forced fumble.
Yeah, he's not ripping and gripping.
It would only put him up to like 17 and a half or 18.
Which would still be pretty good for an 11th year player.
Oh, yeah. He'd be pretty happy.
So this is another thing. That one forced fumble is a little jarring because out of those 14 sacks, you can't tell me he didn't have a chance to rip the ball out of the quarterback's hand. Like maybe that, I get it. You sack the quarterback 14 times, but at some point you should be trying to also rip the ball.
It's such a hard position to be in trying to sack the quarterback because the way that the rules have changed.
You're scared you're going to get a penalty.
Yeah, man.
He doesn't. The way he tackles very soft. I don't mean he's soft, but he plays to not get a penalty on those hits, which is super smart, and I respect that. But I think that's why we're not seeing him swing his arm wildly. If he touches the helmet of a QB, you know, that's a penalty automatically.
If you're ripping Cowboys and gripping, player. That's a better chance. I need you to stat boy for me.
Yep.
What's Nick Bosa's forced fumbles last year and TJ Watt's forced fumbles last year?
Now we're getting tasty, and now we're getting juicy. Stat boy.
And who was the other? Bosa?
Yeah, I think TJ Watt had like 3 in a game.
Is that Joey?
No, Nick.
Nick, fuck.
Joey. Stephen White says, hi, y'all.
What up, Steve?
Hey, Steve. Steven, on this fine Sunday, go ahead and crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him. Drop a like on this video, too, if you will. You know, it's been a while I've begged for one of those.
Steve White's one of these.
Smoke it up.
Steve Chillian?
Love it. Stephen White.
Oh, Stephen White, right.
So Dak, Parsons, TFL's 18.
No, I'm going to give it the whole stat line.
Yeah, TFL 18.
Can you get it up on the screen, AJ?
I can, but it's going to be 3 different pages.
So. Oh, okay. Don't worry about it. I mean, I kind of like just watching you work through it, to be honest.
Yeah, okay, sure. So TFLs, this is Micah Parsons. TFLs last year, 18 quarterback hits, 33. Now we're going to bring up...
Only one forced fumble.
Only one fourth fumble. Now, this is Nick Bosa.
Yep.
16 TFLs. 35 QB hits and two forced fumbles.
So not that many.
Not that many, but you know, to me those are pretty comparable stats. Not one is like running away with.
No, they're pretty even.
That's Nick Bosa, and then who is the other
TJ
one?
TJ Watt.
TJ Watt. God damn it, Alex. Not.
No, no. Right now you're Stat Boy. You're not Alex. It's like Justin Jefferson. When Justin Jefferson puts on his
glasses,
and his chains, he becomes
what's his nickname? Greaseball or something? Jet. That's what it was.
Jet. When Alex loads up a spreadsheet, he becomes Stat Boy.
Stat Boy.
Then from T.J. Watt, we got 4 forced fumbles, 19 TFLs, 36 QB hits.
So this is that he was the best player of the three last year.
Definitely, but not so far ahead. So like. What Micah Parsons doing?
Hey, and 19 sacks.
And okay, so that completely.
He was he was the best defensive end just by looking at the others. And they're all awesome. I'd take any of those dudes on the Cowboys, but TJ Watt's stats were better. Because and I know people get mad when we talk about Micah not closing out the season. TJ Watt closed out the season. They were neck and neck all year.
Yeah.
And then he just kept consistently where Micah's numbers dwindled a little bit at the end of the year.
Do you think that those four forced fumbles were all on the QB with his 19 sacks?
Probably pretty close to it, yeah.
We don't have to check that out.
I don't know if there's a way, but I'd say I'm going to go out on a limb and say yes.
I think so, too.
Although he had 19 TFLs, so there's a possibility that he ripped and gripped on a running back at some point.
Got to be ripping and gripping when you can.
But, okay, what were we talking about before we got
CeeDee Lamb?
CeeDee Lamb signing his contract.
See how we're coming back? So, yeah, CeeDee Lamb.
There, we're back.
Yeah, like Ant said, and I think I'm drinking the Kool-Aid. We're gonna see a signed CeeDee Lamb contract and Dak Prescott by the time we leave Oxnard on the 9th.
I just want to see CeeDee, man. I want to see him there.
I think we're gonna see him. Yeah, definitely before the 9th because I think they'll want him for that scrimmage. Don't you think?
I don't know.
Last year, do you remember seeing him a lot?
CeeDee?
Yeah.
I mean, the thing with wide receivers, they do the drills, right? So when they're doing the drills, it's kind of tough. But not really. We didn't see many big plays. It was mostly, I think, Brandon Cooks. And then
we saw a lot of Turpin and Vaughn.
And
Vaughn,
And a bunch of, a handful of the, like, who's going to be wide receiver 4.
Yeah.
I think it makes a lot more sense because we don't need to run CeeDee Lamb through any training camp to see how he's going to perform, you know.
And it actually might help out the young, hate to say it, but it might help out the younger receivers, him not being around for a couple weeks. Then they get, some of the guys are going to get 1 reps. You have to kind of mix and match the offensive wide receivers a little bit more. So maybe you find your 5th and your 6th, 3rd maybe even. So,
you know, we saw a lot of Diggs. We saw a lot of Diggs and Parsons last year. Those were the two that we were really watching, just going through the Oxnard tape. It's like, oh, we were always talking about.
Toss me one, son.
We were always talking about Diggs.
Did you get it? Sorry, that was
I guess that was bad hands just runs in the family.
Look
that's a pick six.
Look at the fucking cat.
That's a pick six. Sideways beer.
36 minutes.
So for audio listeners, I threw, you know how we do. We got me and Anthony are actually usually on point. Well, I came in.
Oh, look at this.
And I just threw a big sloppy dead duck to Anth. It hit the microphone, exploded all over it. I mean, like a champ, he drank the rest of it. But watch your mic there; it's lit. It's
littied.
It's drenched. Should be fine.
Just mute me. You guys go. I'll clean. You guys talk. I'll mute me and I'll clean.
I don't even know what I was saying now, but.
Okay, so I was asking to get toss me one, but you could just hand off to me.
Well, I always just hand off to you.
Thank you. Hey, you know what it was, Anth? You're using a bandwagon boy koozie over there, and it's just not used to it. You go ahead and flip that cushion if you need to. Just, it's Planes, Trains, and Automobiles style over there. yeah, that was, okay, so we were talking about CeeDee Lamb re-signing. We were talking about who we were looking at. I was saying Parson and Diggs were the ones at camp that we were really seeing a lot of action from it. Maybe it was just because we were watching them. We talked for almost an entire day and a half about Brandon Aubrey and that other dude that fucking didn't make the team.
Whatever his name was. Yeah.
But Descazo.
Yeah.
But that was like, that was literally the tale of our first bit of camp was the kicking.
Yeah, well, that was the big question mark, I think. Who was our kicker the previous season before we found
Money Maher.
Yeah, Money Maher. Which, you know, he did well, but obviously we were like, okay, we need a kicker. Yep. They really shit the bed during camp. Which goes to show you there's more to what we see, obviously, because then Maher came in and did a phenomenal season, missed his very last kick of the of the year, very last extra
point. Remember, he missed those six in a row.
No, that was Maher.
Yeah, Maher. Oh, you're talking about Aubrey. Sorry.
From a training camp where he went like 1-7, and we're like, this is horrible. Switch back. There we go.
How distracting is that?
How do you feel?
Wet.
Okay. Sorry about that.
I feel like I pissed myself.
You know what? But this is part of the game, okay? Yeah, sometimes your QB.
It was like
not a good
when
QB.
I watched it coming towards it, I was like, oh my God, that's fucking smashing the mic. Oh, anyways, we're good.
Sometimes it hits the mic and it just bounces off for this one.
It definitely. Go ahead, crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him. And that's for.
Crack him if you got him. The worst part about it is we didn't have that. We only had like. Now it got us down to 9. 3 each.
Yeah,
that's okay.
There you go. Okay.
Woo. Alrighty. We're back. We're live.
Well, and one for the couch.
One for the couch.
Okay. So, yeah. So, CeeDee Lamb, we're all in agreement. CeeDee Lamb's going to be signed during camp.
And I just wanted to.
I think it was if he was the priority.
Right.
Who's the priority, Dak or CeeDee? We'd agreed it's CeeDee. But coming up to this camp, a little bit of a detour before we hop back on our main train. Who are you, or I guess positions or players? And I think we've talked about this before, but just real quick because it's on the mind. Players or positions that you are going to be watching religiously when we're there in Oxnard?
Well, I'll definitely be watching running backs and wide receivers because that's typically what I'm locked into right now as a wide receiver halfback coach. It's naturally what I'll be watching. The offensive line. I want to see some of these fucking, you know, 1, 2, 3 round picks that we've been taking. All of our draft picks this year, I want to look at and I want to see them in person and kind of get an idea around them.
Put your hands on them, maybe kind of feel them.
I'm going to be going 5 times zoom on Diggs's knee. I just want to see if there's any type.
Well, I think that's a good call on any of the players that are coming back from injury.
Yeah, I mean. I saw there were some really good videos. I mean, you can't really make anything of it, of Diggs training. He's still got a leg wrap on, but he's doing a lot of lateral movements and was hopping over like a high jump size type of
hurdle.
And so I think that's like, okay, great. Like he's actively pushing it. But the problem is you take off that leg brace and it's more, I think, from what I've picked up from players, it's more of not believing that your leg can handle. Like you're always there's something in the back of your mind when you go to cut. You're like you're not going to cut it. You're going to cut it 90% instead of 100% because you're worried. You don't want to re-aggravate that injury. Yeah. So the only benefit to this whole injury was that it happened very early in the season last year. And so he's going to have a full 12 months of technically recovery time.
That's true. Same with Overshown. So guys,
and Overshown too. Shit, I forgot.
All the ACL boys. There's Trevon Diggs, DeMarvian Overshown, Durden. I can't remember his first name. David Durden. And Stevens.
Right. Stevens, actually, I think.
I'll be a fun guy to watch.
I'd love to see Stevens come in and take the number two tight end spot. Not. Like, obviously, you want your second-round pick from a year ago to take that. But Stevens had so much promise.
I think he would have been the number two last year. Dude, remember how good he was at camp?
Very good, yeah. It is camp, but still.
But still, he was playing lights out. And he actually had a touchdown in preseason.
Yep. Yeah, yeah.
So he was playing pretty good.
Yeah, so that's, those are the ACL boys.
Do I look like you guys picked me up from Walmart?
Yeah, totally. Because I'm like, is he wearing an undershirt with his current shirt?
You're missing some mustard stains, but yes.
Well, we can just get you to throw me some mustard.
it's going to get all over the mic and not you.
And just for the record, for anybody who's watching, that's straight from Thailand, that shirt.
No money, no honey. No dun-dun-dun-dun dinky.
I'm glad it was here.
And that's not racist, okay? They say that to me.
They sell it?
No money, no honey?
Well, like, it's just like a funny thing. Obviously, it's to do with...
Oh, if you don't pay, you don't get the pee.
And that's what Jerry says to his boys.
Oh, I didn't even understand that, the no money and no honey.
Yeah.
But that's what it means.
Yeah, it means...
You pay to play.
If you pay, they'll bring honey to your table.
Interesting.
Yeah. Winnie the Pooh. Winnie the Pooh.
Nittany Lion.
Winnie the Pooh.
Nightmare Lion.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and one last thing on this combo, unless there's something you wanted to hit up in chat.
Go for it.
Is this odd? Because I don't even know what play Houdini means. I thought it was a sexual thing at first. But Stephen Joe says, Cowboys trying to play Houdini to keep team stars around Dak Prescott. It
doesn't even make any sense.
So
Houdini's to, like, pull a trick. Or
make
like
a
to,
trick.
Or to, I guess, are they trying to pull a magic trick by keeping everybody together?
Well,
but wasn't he usually, like, disappearing or...
Yeah, it was an illusion.
I think it's a word. I think it's... it's got to be... It's actually, yeah.
I'm going to Google it.
Google, what does play doing a Houdini mean?
Maybe he's just trying to... He's saying, well, Eminem came back and he's talking about Houdini, so...
Oh. To appear, vanish, or escape a difficult situation quickly.
Okay, so they're just talking about... They're not talking... They're talking about the situation in itself.
Right, and that makes sense, I guess. But, I mean...
It makes sense a lot more now that we Googled it.
Sure, and yeah, exactly. I still like to think that Stephen Jones was in his underwear and smoking a cigar when he said that. It's a problem that I'm sure all teams in the NFL have. I think
playing Houdini?
Having to play Houdini, yeah. Having to play Houdini with your team members. But Jerry Jones did say this quite a while ago. This season, though, this offseason, that, like, it's a good problem to have when you have this, amount of quality players. It just sucks that they all line up one year after the other. But that's, like, I don't think any team in the NFL would say, no, I don't want that. Make it easy. It's like, no. If any team in the NFL is like, okay, you can have Lamb, Prescott, and Parsons, but you got to figure out a way to sign those guys. Every team would be like, yep.
Well, that's what I don't understand.
We'll work it out.
That's what I don't understand with people that are like, trade them.
Yeah.
Get anything you can. It's like the whole point of draft. Then why even have a draft? Why even have a draft? The whole point of a draft is to find players that are going to be superstars that you eventually have to pay. They found three of them. They have Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, and CeeDee Lamb. Those guys are all superstars. You have to figure out a way to keep them all.
Look, this is the same. These are probably the same people that are still thinking all we need to do is give Deuce Vaughn the football and he's going to turn into the running back we all think that he is.
Like, it's funny because that sentiment is gone now because we've posted a few videos about Deuce Vaughn and people are just like, compared to last year at this time, where if you said anything negative about Deuce Vaughn.
Yeah.
Which I'd rather him go into the season with no expectations than with the amount of I told you right last year at this time, I said it was unfair the amount of expectations people were placing on a sixth round undersized running back.
Yeah.
Now everyone's going to be a little bit less expecting the world from him. So
maybe. Maybe not. Maybe fuck yourself.
Okay, well.
Crack him
if you got him, son. I guess we can wrap that up, and now let's get into our top 20 Qs, baby.
20 Qs, 20 Q day.
Boom, 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 boom. These are the top 20 questions from DallasCowboys.com. We are on number
top 20 questions going seven. Into training seven. Camp.
Top 20 questions going into the training camp at DallasCowboys.com.
DallasCowboys.com.
And from the staff writer.
You know, my favorite answer is always from Eat Me Out.
I like bolognese.
You like bolognese?
Yeah. What about No C? What about Patrick No C?
Oh, yeah, okay. But he gave his own nickname to himself. Yeah. I like our nicknames.
Our nicknames are bad, but look.
Maybe we should call him Patrick Should Have a K Walker.
Patrick Big K.
Patrick Only K.
Only K.
Special K.
Okay.
Like a drug.
Patrick Okay.
Patrick, okay.
But here we go, DallasCowboys.com, the staff writers, question number seven out of the top 20 questions for Cowboys Nation this offseason is, can Trey Lance overtake Cooper Ridius the third rush.
I definitely think that Trayton Lance could take over Cooper Rush.
I tend to agree, and I think it makes sense before Anth gets to say anything.
No,
and actually,
shit.
You know what? Let's just keep it on this side of the table.
Hey, let's keep it on side. Hey, go ahead and spill some more fucking drinks over there.
That was a botch catch.
Hey, and actually, hey,
Hey, totally on the receiver.
This should be clipped, and we should we should get a sponsorship from Rode, because we just proved to them that their mics are definitely you know, battle tested, right?
Yeah. I mean,
hey, what's up? We're Campaign here. We're going to be throwing drinks at microphones to see if they still work.
That'd actually be a funny
that
clip.
Would be good, actually. But first, we need some sponsors to actually before we ruin
all
these.
Before we ruin all before we ruin all our shit. We need some sort of payment.
But I think it makes sense to test Trey Lance. We know what we got with Cooper Rush. I don't think Rush is sticking around after this year. I think if I was him, I mean, sure, it makes sense. But you got to figure out which way you want to go with these two guys. But here's the other caveat is what's Trey Lance? Trey Lance is on the hook for two more years on the current contract he has, but his next year's contract is for a backup. It's just unreasonable. I think it's something 15 or 20 million or something. It's unreasonable. So they're in a bit of a pickle with their backups because, sure, let's go ahead. Let's push Trey Lance and see what he's got. Potentially line it up for whatever week 8 or week 9. I don't know if they switched the trade deadline, but a trade deadline trade. You know, have him come in, perform very well, and if he does ever play any games, hopefully due to the Cowboys just smashing teams that they have to bring in the backup to just kind
of
run the timeout, that would be really great for the Cowboys. We know what we got in Cooper Rush, so it's really Trey Lance's abilities that he can showcase, and if he does, he'll take over. And I would like to see that because I know what Cooper Rush's floor is.
Yeah, and his ceiling. I think you know what his ceiling is. He's going to be a great game manager, talking about Cooper Rush. Trey Lance, we don't really know that. But you need to have them both compete with the same squad. You need to have them both have the same guys go out in preseason and see who's better with those groups of guys. I think you need to see that in all three games almost.
Right. So we
or 2 quarters each. But it gets tricky because in preseason games, third and fourth quarters usually like third, fourth string. So it's like you almost got to designate the first half to be team one with maybe Cooper Rush and then team one with Trey Lance. And I say team one, meaning the guys they send out there, not the actual team one.
Right. So like 3 games, maybe you do game one in preseason. Trey Lance plays the first 2 quarters or, you know.
I think you got to go quarter 1 and 2. But you're onto it. You're onto the right thing. I think game one, Cooper Rush gets quarter one, and then Trey Lance gets quarter two. Game two, you get the swap, Trey Lance, then Cooper Rush, and then whoever played the best out of those two in those games gets the first quarter in the next game.
Yeah, just to really set it home. And then if he's just performing well, I would even maybe leave him out there on game three, whoever it might be, to get a full half in.
Yeah.
And then put the other guy out.
You got to see with you, like you said, with his contract coming up. You really got to know what you have with him.
Yeah,
you have to. And he needs to be the number two quarterback going into games, so that if the Cowboys are in a situation where we blow a team out, it's not Cooper Rush going out there; it's Trey Lance. You need to see what Trey Lance can do under the ball,
in an NFL game.
So it's gonna make preseason interesting at least.
Yep. Ultra Cowboy says. You don't get it. This is to Kyler Gaming in the chat. Kyler Gaming, you don't get it. Jerry and only Jerry traded for Lance. Jerry is tired of Dak. Steven wants Dak and Jerry doesn't.
What did Kyler Gaming say?
We traded 4th for maybe a backup QB ? Seriously? Ultra just came out of nowhere like fucking
Sting from the rafters.
Yeah. Sting from the rafters. And then he says Trey Lance is being developed the same way that Rodgers was. Aaron throwing mechanics was what caused him to fall, and Big Mike fixed it.
Oh, yeah, I guess that is an interesting little tidbit that Mike McCarthy had both those guys, Aaron Rodgers, and now he has Trey Lance.
That's true.
If people are dieting now more than ever before, then why are nearly 1 in 3 American adults overweight? Dr. Gundry, who's helped thousands lose weight and feel younger and healthier than ever, says most people are not getting enough fat-burning MCTs from their food. MCTs are a special kind of compound that, instead of turning into fat when you consume it, turns into ketones, which is a chemical that breaks down the excess fat in your body. So, by getting more MCTs in your diet, you essentially flip a switch that puts your body in caloric bypass mode, which can flush out excess fat and calories. And he's created an easy way for you to activate caloric bypass right at home. It's called MCT Wellness. This powerful blend of fat-flushing MCT powders and antioxidant-rich polyphenols is designed to help you unlock your body's fat-burning, energy-producing potential. What's even better is that it's a delicious drink. I love how incredible it tastes. All you do is add a scoop to water, enjoy, and watch as you start feeling slimmer and more energized. So, if you want to experience a quick, easy, and effective way to melt pounds fast, go to countrymd.com/energy and order right now to get up to 53% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. Again, that's countrymd.com/energy. Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50. In order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
At Nutrafol, we don't just help your hair, we help your body grow it. Because it's never just about your hair. It can be your job or your deodorant or your lunch or just normal life. That's why our whole body approach targets the key root causes of hair thinning. Discover your root causes and why we're the number one dermatologist recommended hair growth supplement brand at Nutrafol.com. That's Nutrafol.com. These statements have not been approved by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease paid for by Nutraceutical Wellness, Inc.
What if they re-sign Dak and they don't have a trade clause and Jerry just doesn't, he'll give that Dak all this money in the world, but the no trade clause is out, just so that Jerry Jones could actually make a blockbuster trade offer to a different team for Dak?
Sign and trade?
Sign and trade. Like,
here's the thing.
It would be interesting.
He wouldn't really need to do that. Like, he could just trade him.
No, he can't. There's a no trade clause.
Well, Dak has to
agree. Oh, and Dak, sorry.
Yeah, Dak has to agree.
Dak would have to agree.
I'm saying so it's such a weird...
you sign him and then trade him to someone?
Yeah.
Fuck, could you imagine?
Woo!
That's AJ Madden right there.
That's AJ Madden.
And I'd do it.
Oh. Ultra says he's been on vacation riding roller coasters with his kids.
Oh, so that's shit, why that's gone. A good time.
Ultra, if I rode a roller coaster, I get... When I go to Playland, I get... 3 rides max before I'm starting
you're
to feel
your motion sickness guy?
I never used to be, but as I got older in my age, it's like, okay, I can't do any spinny rides anymore. I'm like, actually, roller coasters I can do.
It's the spinny rides.
It's the spinny rides.
Ad and I, when we went to Six Flags in California, I don't know how many we rode, but like probably like 15 roller coasters. It was 116 Fahrenheit or 46 Celsius.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Hungover.
Hungover as shit.
Hungover.
How do you even survive?
Well, I mean, the two of us, we can crank rides. No matter what we eat or drink, we're still good to go.
It was funny though, because I'd never been on a roller coaster. We're going on a little side quest here. I'd never been on a roller coaster before. The first one we go on is the Goliath, which is 450 feet up. We get to the front of the line. I'm like, I'm not going on this. Ad's like, yeah, you are. You're not being a pussy. You're like, you're going on. I'm like, no, not a chance. He's like, you're going on. I'm like, okay, I got to go on. We got the front, the very front.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that was awesome.
And as it's going up.
Dude, it takes you 40 seconds to get to the top. You can see everything.
And the heat's just burning you?
And then we did that, and I was like, we did that one. I was like, okay, let's hit every single one of these motherfuckers in this place.
The dragon corkscrew one was the best.
That was crazy.
You're descending underneath and there's nothing below you, and they kind of like put you in like a Superman position.
We got
it, and it does corkscrews and barrel rolls and stuff.
We got to do it. Sucks because when we go to the Thanksgiving Day game, they have that Six Flags right by AT&T Stadium, but it's always closed.
You know what?
It's always closed. Yeah, because the time of year.
Oxnard to Six Flags is probably not that far. We could do a Six Flag Wednesday day.
That would be fun.
Ultra Cowboy, as Alex, I thought you were gonna. He goes.
I can.
He goes. We re-signed Dak. That means no Super Bowls for the duration of his contract. Even Galkin said the only way Dak is back in Dallas is on a team-friendly deal. That's why you hear Dak is talking to Jones. Maybe Stephen Jones he's talking about. I mean, Ultra, what are you going to do now that your boy Michael Galkin's retired?
Oh, yeah.
Who's he going to listen
to? Michael Galkin retired?
I think so, yeah.
I did see that. Yeah. Well, he's leaving wherever he is. Maybe he does.
I thought it was a retirement post.
He's still pretty young.
No, well, like he's...
He's taking a sabbatical?
I'm just saying, like...
Maybe he's going to cover FIFA?
Well, maybe he's just like, I'm just going to do my own thing. I have enough followers. I have
that's
enough
true.
Yeah, 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 that's not...
And then, like, kind of just pimp himself out to whatever
he's
network.
Todd Archer is his go-to guy.
Oh, and that's, hey, Bandwagon Baba, she watches Todd Archer daily. She goes, I'll be talking to mom about Cowboys. She goes, well, Todd Archer.
Yeah.
Like, that's Bandwagon Baba's number one is Todd Archer, 100%.
Sorry,
that's
good, cut you off.
No, I'm just saying, like, these guys, after they get to a certain level, they might just be like, I don't want to deal with the corporate BS. I don't need...
Bounty hunt yourself.
Yep.
Or even just... I have the followers. I'm going to go out and just buy a camera, get a good mic, sit in my beautiful office with all my awards, and I can talk to people this way. Like, they don't need...
Yeah.
Michael Galkin doesn't need a network. It's only...
That's what Fisher does right now. He does the Fish Report.
Oh, which yeah. Bandwagon Bob is saying Mike Fisher is her guy.
Oh, Todd Archer. Sorry. And then I said the Fish Report.
Yeah, okay.
I was just trying to call Bandwagon Bob out by dropping Fish.
Well, she gets mad that I don't ever... She'll post stuff in the comments here sometimes, and I don't bring it up.
But, yeah, sorry. She likes Mike Fisher.
Yeah, she's
But Mike Fisher,
She wants that...
The Fish Report.
To get hooked by Fish, you know?
But he does kind of like what AJ's saying. He's still with Sports Illustrated, but he has his own YouTube channel where every night he goes and he does, like, a 15-minute Fish Report.
Yeah, as they should.
Which is sweet. Like, definitely, you got... But you're right. I think if they just wanted to go full rogue...
You can.
You're in that time where a company can't put the handcuffs on you to say you can't post your own stuff.
Yeah.
It's too accessible. It's like the norm, and it's better for the company to have people put extra effort into their personal brand to elevate their personal brand. You end up probably paying them more to the point where you might not be able to afford them, or they decide to leave. So there is a risk, but ultimately in that time where they're doing it, you're doing it together. It's going to benefit both parties.
Oh, for sure. They need to go through that.
Coexist a little bit.
To get the exposure. Most people,
not Canvan.
And you can't pay for that type of exposure.
Look at this. Look at me. This shirt. They would never let me on any type of TV with this, but we just carve our own niche out.
And not even on Pat McAfee, because I'm the only one that wears cutoff shirts, bro. Okay.
Yeah, we're about to get a cease and desist.
Okay, so what are these Dallas Cowboys staff writers? What are Eat Me Out, Eatman, and the fellas after?
And Bolognese?
Yeah, and Bolognese.
Oh, Mickey Bolognese up first.
There you go. Zoom me out a little bit. There you go.
That is a lot. We'll just read his very last sentence. Looking forward to seeing what Lance can do once actually playing in games. Since he's appeared in only 8 NFL games and only starting 4... And not since September 8th, 2022, wow. all with the Niners over 2 seasons. So, yeah, he wants to... Well, but he... Okay, sorry. He didn't answer it in that last
sentence. No, I think what he's saying is, like, we need to see more out of this guy, so let's get as much as we can. Let's get him out there more than Cooper Rush.
It's too early to say, yes, he's going to overtake him until you see what he can do.
Yep. Well, and they also know what Cooper Rush is.
Yeah.
So, if anything, you should have Trey Lance taking more snaps than Cooper Rush in preseason, because... You know what Cooper Rush is going to be for you.
Ain't that the truth?
Patrick No C says, 2 things are true here. Yes, it's possible for the former 3rd round overall pick to beat out Cooper Rush in training camp. It's also not going to be anything near easy for him to achieve that goal. So you want? I think it's the same thing. We need to see what this guy can do, and we need to give as much opportunity before the season kicks off for us to see that.
Well, it's like a job, and any job you have, you're not going to blindly decide that your backup role without seeing what they can do.
And before we get on to Nick Eat Me Out Eatman, I have a quick question here because Patrick made a point that I think brings a question to mind. If, let's say, it's kind of down to the finish line, the last 100 meters sprint in a 15,000 mile race. You got both of these guys. They both perform well, and a trade opportunity comes up. And the team's willing to take either Cooper Rush or Trey Lance. Which one would you trade? Same deal. Like, they're happy with either guy. Who would you rather trade?
I'm going to give you the shitty answer.
Do it.
I need to see.
You're such an eat-me-out eat-man.
I need to see what Trey Lance does first in some preseason games. And I do like that you went last 100 meters and then you went to miles.
I think the Cowboys would actually get more for a Cooper Rush trade than a Trey Lance trade at this moment.
I like what I went with. I went with the shit answer. Ad went with a good answer.
Because everybody's seen what Cooper Rush can do. And backup quarterbacks are you need a solid backup quarterback.
He's arguably been the best backup quarterback in the last 3 years.
Yeah.
What you think he would be better than an Andy Dalton?
He's proven it.
Okay.
Cooper Rush has proven it when he's been put in.
Okay, so
Cowboys games. I think he's 5-1.
Yeah.
In games that he had to start. So that's pretty damn good.
I would say this though. I agree with you, but I think it's more based on that large contract that is looming. With Trey Lance.
Now, obviously, it has to be restructured.
And no team's going to take him for that.
No team's going to. So that's
unless you fucking 30 touchdowns. No interceptions.
No teams trading the Cowboys for Trey Lance for what the Cowboys traded for Trey Lance.
Yes.
A fourth round pick. I'll say that.
Yeah, until they see what he could possibly do. But the thing with Trey Lance is because of this aura around him going as number one, and then he. The upside for him is far better than a Cooper Rush.
Well, physically, like, yeah. His physical trait ceiling.
Which comes with this restructuring of the contract if he comes in and he shows up and he balls out, right?
I was watching some of his college highlights, man. Like, he only played really 1 year, but I could see why he was the first quarterback taken or second quarterback taken.
I actually want to see this show, and it's only going to be a short-lived four-episode only filmed in the preseason.
Okay.
And what they're going to do is they're going to send Cooper Rush and Trey Lance on a road trip to each of the games. And you get to you film them. They're hanging out. We're going to see how they do. And it's called Road Tripping with Coop and Rush.
With Coop and Rush.
With Coop and
Rush. Sorry. Trey and Rush. Trey and Rush.
Trey and Rush.
And they become the arc is they're opponents or they're competing against each other at the start. But by the end, they become brothers.
Friends. They become best
friends.
They
get lost on the way. Your GPS isn't working. Whatever. Cooper Rush definitely uses Waze.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. Ultra Cowboy says, people tend to forget that Lance won the San Francisco starting job over Garoppolo and Purdy, but he got hurt in week 2. Dak fanboys always leave that out. So he's saying that that Trey Lance does have the ability there. He just came in. We don't know what his season would have been had he not got hurt in week 2.
I don't think that's true.
Well, this is what Ultra Cowboys
is. Ultra.
He goes, Lance won a starting QB job before. Cooper Rush has not. Is kind of what he's saying to us right now.
Yeah, but
and this is where everyone.
He's right.
Purdy did come in halfway through, like week 5 or 6 after the injury.
He is right. Purdy wasn't who he is today, and it was Garoppolo and Purdy, not Dak Prescott. Like Cooper Rush is playing against Dak Prescott, and this is years ago.
Ask Davante Adams who he'd rather have quarterback, Garoppolo or
put all of them on Garoppolo, Purdy, and Prescott. I bet you more people pick Prescott. Not just like Purdy is perfect for the San Francisco. Well,
but you have to ask people that aren't Cowboys fans.
That's right.
The idea with Purdy at that time because he was the Mr. Irrelevant and. You had Jimmy Garoppolo. So Jimmy Garoppolo losing the starting job to Trey Lance is one thing. We know that Garoppolo, he gets picked up as a starting quarterback, but he's just not
that guy.
He's not the guy.
Not that guy.
You can ask Nate Dogg about it. And I don't think Nate Dogg is a big fan of Trey Lance anyways either, but I think that's also because of what San Francisco gave up to get Trey Lance. Had Trey Lance been acquired to San Francisco with different means, there might be a little bit of a different type of vibe around him.
Yeah,
but someone like Purdy probably didn't get a fair chance in that initial going vying for that job. Like you're stepping in as a as a no dick, a freshman almost.
Last pick in the draft. He's got no dick.
He has no dick. He's like a Ken doll.
He's Ken doll.
And
he's like that dude from Game of Thrones.
He's a eunuch. Yeah, he's a eunuch.
I don't want to sound weird, but did you guys all see Trey Lance's little weird bump he's got?
Oh, I thought Purdy had the bump.
Oh, Purdy?
Purdy's a eunuch.
His hump bump?
His little weird bump.
Okay, we got to move on from this. We're all agreeing that everybody needs to see more. Let's get to question six.
I'm just going to run real quick through.
Get Eat Me Out.
Eat Me Out says, I'll believe it when I see it. So I think he's on board with us. And I know he's wrote a paragraph. You know that's not how we do, guys. And Curdy Daniels says, it certainly seems like Cowboys brass wants Lance to overtake Rush. And I think we all want him to prove or to show, yeah, I'm the starting backup quarterback, and I'm also going to be pushing Dak Prescott, because if he falters at all, I think everyone wants that in their backup QB. Of course you do. Right? Wouldn't that be awesome?
It would be, unless we re-sign Dak.
Unless we re-sign Dak. And then we re-sign Dak, trade them all.
Yeah, trade them all.
We need a backup.
Trade everybody.
Okay.
I think we go to question six now.
Question six.
Who's the starting center in week one? Ooh, this is a spicy one. So right now, the main battle is between Brock Hoffman and Cooper Beebe.
Cooper Beebe. And Brock Hoffman actually was on our actually?
Broxley?
Brock Hoffman was Broxley on our good friend Cowboy Chris's show. They had him on. They were very excited. It was actually really fun to watch. But I can only imagine, like, you know, you get a Cowboys player on, you're going to be a little hyped up for that. And I thought it was a good interview, but after Brock Hoffman left, they like ragged on each other. It's a good...
it's funny.
It's a fun show to watch. Brock Hoffman is a real dude. He's a real ass dude. And but anyways, yes, Brock Hoffman and basically Cooper Beebe.
Third round pick, yeah. Cooper Beebe, that we traded back in first round pick and acquired him with that second third round pick.
How do you feel about the third round pick? Is that like, because we always talk about your first round pick needs to be a starter week one, your second round pick
should be at least vying for time
or playing a significant over one third of the snaps would be great, just to make sure that they're in game, and it should be growing throughout the season, right? Like where they started in the beginning of the season as a second round pick should be much lower in terms of how much time they're playing by the end of the season. What do you think about a third round pick? Where does that lie?
I think they can sit back. I don't think they have to start. If you luck out like last year, our third round pick, DeMarvion Overshown, he was slated to get a lot of playing time. He showed in the preseason. That was almost, besides the injury, the best case scenario he could have had for a third round pick. He was a Texas guy through and through. They drafted him, and we're talking about DeMarvion Overshown. He was slated to play and then got injured, right? Like that was best to worst case scenario. I think Beebe, you get him, and he's kind of in a similar situation where you have a starter in place, but not necessarily a proven starter in Brock Hoffman. So the coaching staff is going to honestly pick who they think's best. The third round pick is a blessing in disguise because you don't have that looming first or second round grade on the player. You can still have them sit for a year or two and be like, well, yeah, we're developing our mid-round guys, right?
Yeah.
So if he ends up starting, well, they believe that he's better than Brock Hoffman, but I don't think he needs to start for it to be a bad pick.
You're not going to go into the season with a bad taste in your mouth if Brock Hoffman's the starting center.
No, not at all. It'll kind of make me feel better because he actually had competition. He wasn't just given the role because Biotish left.
Yeah. Yeah, and a funny thing actually from that interview that really brought me, like, I love Brock Hoffman. He's got a great name. He's got a great look. But he's always just been a backup kind of second fiddle type of dude. Put him in this position, and he said himself, they asked on Cowboys Chris's podcast, they asked him, and I forget who asked, but doesn't matter. Go watch it for yourself. You can come back.
Yeah, be your own fucking person. Don't be some sort of lemming.
Don't be a lemming. But they asked him, like, who's the biggest shit talker, basically, on the team? And Brock Hoffman was like, you know, I hate to say it, but I think it's me. And so I love that. I love a guy who's getting in the face of these big-ass defensive linemen and fucking challenging him, basically.
I don't think Biadasz was ever that dude. You know, no. I don't think he was getting guys' faces. And sometimes you need offensive linemen. There's a couple positions on the NFL football team that you want to have a little a little attitude.
I want him to be nasty.
Yeah, I want your center to be nasty.
Center should be center and guard.
They need to be maulers, man.
Should be nasty dudes. They should when you get into the scrum, you should be grabbing at the crotch, squeezing and twisting. You know,
squeezing and
eye
twist.
Gouging.
Find some balls. Grab
find
them
something
and twist
to grab
them.
And twist. That's what I think.
Zach Martin, those are my balls. Let's yeah. go.
Well, speaking of Zach,
it's too late. I've already gripped them.
Speaking of Zach Martin, Ultra is giving a hot take. He thinks that Hoffman is going to be the starter, and he believes BB is going to be Martin's 2025 replacement.
Well, and that could happen. Sure. And I'm yeah. not necessarily
and you're
upset
not a,
with that.
You're not upset with that because he's a third round. He's our third pick.
Yep.
There's not a lot of pressure on him if you
he
work.
He was a free pick almost.
Yeah. It goes back to when we yeah. were talking before we went live about Tyler Guyton and how we would be disappointed if our first round pick wasn't actually starting. And that news came out this week saying that he's probably going to sit behind and he'll be the starter and he'll be an all pro next season.
Yeah. The drop was that week
he was
one,
raw.
Well, week one, I forget what the guy's name was. Bobby fucking something.
Bobby Boots.
Bobby something.
Bobby he, Belt.
Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt said.
Bobby Boots.
Bobby Boots. Bobby Top Hat said that his sources told him that they would be very surprised if Tyler Guyton was the first or was the starter week one. And he believes Chuma Adoga would be that guy. This is Defy Talks Cowboys. Bobby Belt thinks it's likely that rookie first round pick Tyler Guyton will back up Chuma Adoga week one and possibly the entire season. He mentioned he believes Tyler Guyton is a future Pro Bowler and believes in where he could be, but Guyton is a raw prospect and needs work at LT. So we had to touch on that a little bit. I think it's hogwash. I'd be very, very, very surprised if Tyler Guyton isn't the starter week
one. They were
saying
Tyler Smith was raw and he's probably not going to pan out as a starter for the Cowboys when we first signed him.
How can you say this?
Technically, he's now a guard, so.
Right, he got moved.
Yeah.
He's still a starter on the line. But
how do you even say this prior to anyone putting pads on? Like, yeah. You haven't even seen him in pads. There's no way to have this. And even if you do have a source, a credible source, there's still no way. There's guys that come in as undrafted free agents that aren't even expected to make the team that end up becoming starters. So how can you say that about your first overall pick? You haven't even given him a chance to compete for the spot.
But it's an interesting like trajectory. And if it does go that way, do you feel like the Tyler Guyton pick was a miss? We should have taken the other available players that were available on the 26th pick instead of trading back, which would mean we wouldn't get Cooper Beebe.
BB's my baby.
I like Beebe, but I mean, like you said, we haven't seen pads on these guys, so
it's too early.
If this is the case, would you have still drafted Guyton if he's going to show up in year two and be a lifelong tackle? No,
not a chance. I'm sick of that. I'm sick of drafting for the next year.
Yeah,
I'm fine with drafting for the next year with your third to seventh round picks.
True.
That's okay. Your first and second round picks should be, at least you should be trying to draft for them to be instant starters. Otherwise, how do you upgrade your current team? You're always going to be a year behind. Yeah. If you're not getting that extra player that's going to put you over the top, like I understand the Mozzie Smith pick because it was a dire need and he was the best defensive tackle, but I don't like when people say that Mozzie Smith was a pick that was supposed to develop and be in 2024, 2025.
No, they picked him for that year and he's just wasn't panning out for whatever reason.
But that like, the Cowboys went to the divisional round and lost in 2022. You should be taking guys that you think would make you better in 2023. Cowboys went to the wild card round and lost in 2023. Well, now you should be taking players that you think are going to make you better going forward. I don't believe they used a first round pick, let Tyron Smith go to let Chuma Adoga start week one. Right. I just, that does not compute to me at all.
Yeah. I'd rather trade back to get a lower cost per year, do the same deal that they did, but then use that money to re-sign Smith on left tackle, right?
For sure.
Like I would rather that play out, because then you're still getting a guy who you want to come in lower cost, so you have more money to afford, and then you keep Smith around for another year.
And then everyone's like, "Well, Tyron Smith gets hurt." Well, then you put Chuma Adoga in, who's
going to be the starting center in that scenario.
Right? So, but who's the starting center? Let's get our final answers on this. I'm going to go because we need an answer. I'm going to say Hoffman. I think Hoffman's going to start.
I agree. I think Hoffman will start, and I think BB's going to be playing kind of a – they're going to test him on different points of the line when they can, and we'll discover where he should go on that line, because it is true, Alter makes a good point. We are past the point where Martin's going to be hanging his cleats up. More than likely, it's next year. If we do get another year out of him, he's the – you know, arguably one of the best guards in the NFL, but at what point does that start to dip down, or that he's only playing six games a season because, you know, he just can't handle it anymore? He's a big boy with, and he's got knees like everyone else, so.
Yeah. A lot of miles. And Matt, who do you think?
I think it's going to be Hoffman.
Well, and realistically, say your third round pick that we came in last year, we said, hey, we got a good offensive line. But if somebody gets hurt, we're fucked, right? That's what was the reality of last year.
Yeah.
So say Hoffman starts and BB's put back in backup role. BB can replace your left guard, your center, and your right guard.
BB provides that flexibility on the line.
For sure. You can now lose. And I'll tell you this right now. Even if Hoffman ends up winning the starting center role, guaranteed we see Cooper BB at some point.
Yep.
Whether it be subbing out Tyler Smith, whether it be subbing out Hoffman, or whether it be subbing out Martin. Offensive linemen get hurt. They're too big. It's too physical. There's injuries. Having depth is huge. So the pick, just because he's not starting, it doesn't devalue them taking BB in the third.
And I can see Cooper BB coming in for a lot of like Zeke and BB like kind of pull plays, and having him kind of lead out for him.
Yeah, kind of what they did with what the hell was his name a couple years ago? I can't remember who it was, but we had McGovern. Mm-hmm. We were doing that with McGovern a couple years ago.
Well, I mean, and that's what BB's known for. That he did that with Deuce Vaughn when they were in their collegiate careers together.
He just let Deuce jump on his back. He said, "Hey, just get in my." It was like Ant-Man and fuck.
Yeah, get on my saddle.
But that like if he comes in and he's a guard and they're going to pull the guard and then they're going to have him kind of be that lead out blocker for Zeke on some of these smash and bash plays. Like that's fucking sweet. Like
hell yeah,
you can't be upset with that. And again, that flexibility, toss me one, son. That flexibility and depth.
Toss me one, son.
Oh, so I didn't have it. I should have had. You moved it out of the way. You moved it out of the way, and you're ready to go.
Well, the funny thing is, for the longest time after AJ hit the mic the one time, I would always go like that, and then I was getting too comfortable. I needed that pick six to happen. I needed that pick six to happen.
It's not going
to
happen.
And by pick six, I should say piss six, because it feels like
that's
six.
That's probably that's 100% the first piss six, because that was a clean shot to the can.
The can was donezo.
Yeah.
The can was donezo.
Yeah. Yeah, usually they just spray up. But that was a smash.
Spray up or spray off?
Yeah, let's get through these Cowboys staff writers, see what they think.
Mickey Bolognese, what do you got?
Oh, they gave us some bold, but there's nothing wrong with Hoffman winning the backup center guard responsibility on the game day roster. And that, too, might be a battle with TJ Bass, though really hasn't had that much practice work at center during his rookie season.
I don't consider Bass in there. I mean, Bass is kind of just a
depth guy,
and then that's fine.
Actually, it's what Bolognese says at his first sentence. This might become the most competitive starting position battle during training camp, and something that we could watch, guys.
Yeah, yeah. Put that on the list.
So is he? And he's saying at the end there, it's more of probably a battle between Bass, Hoffman, and BB.
Well, that's what we were just saying. Yeah. That we don't think Bass is really.
I don't include him.
I don't buy Bass. I don't buy Bass. I only buy salmon.
Yeah, but I mean, Bass had some pretty decent games when he came in.
And have you guys ever seen what Bass looks like?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He kind of looks like that. What's it called? The dude that we wanted to sign.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. TJ Bass. I thought Bass, when he came in, he was a formidable backup.
I don't remember him.
Exactly. That's why he was a formidable backup.
He had a couple good games, and actually he played with Hoffman in a couple games, and Hoffman and Bass were both in, and we're like, oh, God.
And we thought we were going to be yelling, "You're a liability." We thought it was going to be Ryan Gosling and Remember the Titans, and
they played quite well.
He played Deese.
There he is.
Let's bring him up.
Yes.
Yes, that's the type of center/lineman I want.
I've seen this guy before.
Yeah, he was on Hoffman's podcast. Maybe did you see it on that?
No. I was in a 7-Eleven buying a shitty hot dog at 3 a.m. one day, and he was behind the counter.
A 7-Eleven Big Bite?
Yeah, he was behind the counter.
You know what TJ Bass looks like? He got stung by six bees.
Oh, yeah. He's like, they say the swelling's going to go down in about seven to 8 days.
Hey, so. Man, I like a bruiser like that. No bull.
No, and look, if he does, but it is true. I think that is true. Center is going to be something we're going to keep our eyes on. Yeoman says, but Brock Hoffman will start at center week one.
I really appreciate the guys knowing that we've been going through their block of texts, and now they're kind of bolding it for us.
Yeah, they're like, these guys are reading the wrong lines. So let's give them the ones that they want to read. So we appreciate it.
Man, us as staff writers are getting our fucking asses handed to us on the Cowboys Confan pod. Let's make sure we bold these.
Email says, no, but don't bold me.
Don't bold me. No bold. I want them, but then he puts it in the first sentence. Yeah. I'll take BB on this one.
hey, Email. Email knows what he wants, and he's directing you right to it.
It's going to be a competition. That's the greatest part about it. It's going to be a battle. That's the good thing.
And finally, Nick Harris here says, this isn't a battle. There isn't a battle I am more excited about. Cooper Beebe comes in with a wealth of offensive line knowledge, and Brock Hoffman comes in with a full offseason of workout in the facility.
It's going to be a battle.
You also can't forget about TJ Bats. He's basically putting a third stake on the Barbie, if you will. And I guess, look, we'll bring him in.
Competition breeds greatness, man.
The only thing you're going to have to do is wait for our daily report from training camp.
Cottage cheese sharpens cottage cheese. As I'm talking, I look like a bag of milk over here.
Yeah, but you got that construction.
Bag of milk.
You got that construction.
That glow.
That construction glow. Okay.
You have that dad strength that you don't have a kid with, though.
It's construction strength, man. Yeah. It's a thing.
So we did hit last week. We hit up the question five, which is, what is Mike McCarthy's biggest challenge?
So do we finish on four and keep ourselves 3-4 Wednesday?
Sure. Let's do that.
I think that's a good way. I think that's a good thing to go. I think that's a good way.
I got
to
pull an ant here.
Oh, no. Oh,
what the hell?
Oh, man. I can't remember the last time I had to. It's been since the draft coverage that I've had to go take a little hit the little girl's room.
So before we hit this one up, I do just see in chat here we got I think it's Kyler Gaming, says, are we really trusting Steele for the next 5 years?
Hell no. I think this year is going to be a very, very good telling sign. I give the mulligan on the first year back from an ACL. I do. You have to. He's still young. He still has a chance to bounce back. I know people are going to say, well, Michael Gallup was in his second year. Michael Gallup was also a few years older.
Yep.
You don't want your big dogs coming back from knee injuries ever, because obviously it was physics, weight plus weakness, yes. It's going to probably have a higher chance of it happening. But you have to give him another chance.
You got to give him another chance. And if he didn't have the season that he did in 2022 before he got that injury, I think we'd both be
moving on already.
Saying, yeah, we should move on.
Why did we draft the center? We should have been drafting a right tackle.
Exactly. Exactly. But he has that, like you just mentioned, he has that, okay, he was injured, so we're going to give him a little bit of a cushion on that judgment. And then he also had a lights out 2022 season when he was playing. So it really comes down to hoping he bounced back. Also, though, we don't have anyone to replace him.
You could shuffle the line around a little bit. Guyton played right tackle. Tyler Smith could go to left tackle. Like, there is some shuffling you could do. Yeah. You do have, and that's where depth on the offensive line becomes so key. Because if, say, week by week five, it's like, okay, this offensive line is not working out. Well, then you start crafting in that lab. You start taking, crack if you got him.
Oh, shit.
Crack him if you got him, son.
Adam's getting scared.
You guys did it to me. I was on Anth for the crack him, and then I switched over to AJ, and then as soon as I switched over to AJ, you cracked it, so I'll get my own official. And this is just a ploy so that I'm the only one who has crack him if you got him on.
Crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him.
Crack him if you got him, and crack him for your friends.
I love the idea. I love the idea of you do shuffle the line, but you always want to default to putting the players into the place that they are the most efficient. So, like, if I've been using this a lot lately in my own world, but like, if you are most efficient at a position, say 150% efficiency, and then you move him to left tackle and he's 75% efficient, you're just dropping your entire quality of your line down. Whereas if you keep him in that position, you could bring in someone who's a little lower because you've still got an overall, like, these guys are, we've got two out of three linemen who are in their prime position, which just brings the whole lineup because they're not going to be making those mistakes. When you move guys out of their position that they're prime in, more mistakes can happen or just overall general weaknesses. So it's such a, you know, juggling.
Well, I got a question then to kind of play. I like that. You're right. I keep a guy where he's meant to play. But okay, in this hypothetical situation, Yeah. Terrence Steele's playing, let's say, at 45%.
Dog shit.
I'm just going to say percents, yeah. just to make it easy. So he's playing at 45%. Tyler Smith's playing at 85% at left guard, okay? But if you could take Terrence Steele off the field, switch Tyler Guyton to right tackle, now get 73% from your right tackle, put Tyler Smith at left tackle, get 80%.
Sure.
And then still have your left guard be at like a high 70s.
Yes, then that makes sense.
That's the only way I mean it is if you have one guy that's performing below than average, but you can put three guys that are performing better than average at those positions.
Yeah.
And that I you got to give Terrence Steele. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. I think he's going to be better than he was last year. I really do, because he had a great year in 2022. Last year, he started getting better at the end of the season, too. He really did. So it'll be interesting. But there is ways out if T. Steele starts, because the question was, do you trust him for 5 years? It's kind of, we don't know until, again, it's a question mark, but you got to just put the trust in training camp and what the team sees.
Ultra was saying Steele was playing at a Pro Bowl level before his ACL injury. Last five games, he was balling.
Yeah.
He says, go watch Steele's last five games. And then Kyler Gaming says, I don't remember any blunder sacks on Steele's side, so I guess he did well enough. I just didn't think a five-year contract was going to happen.
But yeah, but that happened prior to the that happened prior to the 2023 season.
Ultra says this, the Cowboys' whole 2024 draft was not to move Tyler Smith to left tackle.
I agree, too.
For sure.
Yeah.
But let's say
injuries happen.
Right guard, right tackle's gone for whatever reason that you can come up with in your head.
I trust Terrence Steele a lot more than I trust Chuma Doga. Let's just say that.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, especially on that right tackle.
Depth. It's built on depth. The offensive line has a bunch of depth. That's as happy as you can be.
Which is what we want.
That's what you want, man. Yeah. We've preached that last year. There was no depth on the offensive line. This year they have it.
And I never thought about it until Anth was yelling at me that we have no depth on the offensive line, even after I didn't even ask him a question about it. We got no depth!
That's just how I talk. I'm never physically or mentally or trying to yell at you. Yeah. I'm more so yelling at the listener.
Yeah, totally. Hey, anybody who's listening right now, you're about to get ears and ear.
I would never yell at my brother or my half brother in AJ. Mm-hmm. I'm yelling at you, that the person that's listening.
Yeah, if you're listening to this right now, you're getting yelled at.
So guys, what does CD? Oh, AJ.
Oh, look, we're in media. Okay, we got to hype things up. Sometimes a little controversy is good.
Absolutely.
So final question here for today. Then we'll do our final three.
I like having the top three for the
top three is good
for the main event.
So let's move on from the contract. This is just about CeeDee Lamb playing this year. What does CeeDee do for an encore? Comparing, I guess this is referring to his season last year and how balled out he played.
Can we get his stat line up?
I was just gonna ask that.
Can we get his stat line up?
Well, let me finish the fucking question first.
No.
See, that's somebody yelling at you.
Yeah.
No, but he yelled at me, not you. He would never dare yell at you.
I think we yell at each other occasionally.
I yelled at both. That was a double yell.
Remember when he told me that he didn't care about my fantasy football squad either?
Oh, yeah. No, he fucking hates when I talk fantasy football.
Well, just when I was in that zone. I don't know what zone. It was a bit of a
You
fog.
Were Clayton.
I was a foggy. I was Clayton.
Hello. It's spicy.
So this is CeeDee Lamb's stats from...
Stanky stat line from Sidarius Lamb. Oh,
look at that, man. Look at that. 2020, still had a pretty good year, but then 2021, 2022, 2023, all years that he was in the Pro Bowl, and then 2023, an all-pro player. Guys, that is a mint. Every single one of his stats that you look at... Targets, 111 in 2020, 120 in 21, 156 in 22, 181. He should have over 200 targets next season.
And at some point, I think he's in a very Goldilocks zone with those targets. I don't think we want to see him, unless Dak throws more, you don't really want to see too many passes going to one player.
No.
Right? Because it just means that no one else is fucking doing anything out
I'm
there.
Okay with 200. A cap.
I'm okay with 200 too. But that's like we're breaching the end of the Goldilocks zone at that
totally.
Point.
Can I put a request in here for a second? Yeah. Can you just bring up his 2023 stat line? I think it was from Google where it shows every single week. I just want to see his first 6 weeks where he was basically non-existent.
I think you do. You might be able to do this.
I think I know what Adam's talking about.
Just when you go to Google, just straight up
Google. Because every fucking time we would hear someone talk about Dak and Jalen Hurts, I'd always look at the Google thing between the two of them.
It's nice to use.
I might have to.
Yeah, it's okay. Take your time. This is
his first six.
It's a thankless job right now. What
his first six? Oh, here it is. This is good. And then you just got to scroll. Yeah, this is good. ESPN. So down, AJ.
Down. Oh, first six. There we go.
Look at that. Look at his minus the New York Jets game. Bullshit.
Yeah.
4 for 4, 4 for 7, 4 for 6, 4 for 5, 7 for 7. So he 100% could get to 200 targets.
Well, yeah. And here's, you look at those games, and obviously if you don't get thrown the ball, you're not going to have the stats. But you look at when he can put on that mustard, and even I think the best look here is his average yards.
Yeah,
obviously it's New York Giants. It was a 40-0 blowout week one, which I'd love to see that again this season, just week one blowout like that. But that he had a great 19.3 average, but then it was 13-13-9, and then 12.3, 16.7. They started passing to him more. Then it went. Then it started to become more consistently above 13 yards per average.
Look at that. Look at.
Weeks. And only one touchdown in his first 6 weeks.
I'm telling you, his ceiling, man, is what he did in the back half of the season. His ceiling. Look at these games, man.
He did have some
227. He still had 10 targets though.
Yes. Yeah. No. They're very true. Very true.
Right.
Yeah.
Like Carolina. Okay. Whatever. Washington. Whatever. But look at
even those games, like if you're thinking about what could he actually produce, like it's almost like take a couple off of some of these other games and put more on these other ones here to kind of balance it out for him. On a 44-10 game, who cares if CeeDee Lamb isn't getting more than one touchdown and 53 yards? Like fantasy football players, us fantasy football
owners. I had him, so I was pissed.
Yeah, exactly, right?
For me,
sorry, that wasn't in CanFan.
Same thing with running backs. They need to be in the game early, and then you need to continue to go to them throughout the game. When CeeDee Lamb gets 10 or more targets, he has an exceptional game.
They win.
And that's what they need to
do. You almost look at this. Well, I guess he had 10 and a couple losses. But let's go back. Now that we've been able to...
Here?
Yeah, we've been able to kind of take this in, seeing what he did, saw his stat line from last year. What's your guys' encore for CeeDee?
Okay. That's a very good question. He's going to get more targets because they're going to throw to him from the beginning of the season.
Especially when he's one of the highest paid wide receivers in the NFL.
I mean, it's no, yep. There's no problem with him getting 200 targets, to be quite honest. You keep that same reception percentage. So he's going to be up to probably like 145 receptions at minimum. Add on his yardage, like, he's going to be up to 1,900 yards.
Flirting with 2,000.
A couple big breakout games, right?
Which is an NFL record.
And then touchdowns, 14.
Oh, I like that. Ooh. So, like, because think, he had one in his first six games, exactly. Man. And then 11 in his last, what is that, in his last 11?
Yeah, so I'm only adding two extra touchdowns.
Which is in the first 6 weeks.
Which probably
should have happened.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So, like, yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm going to say 200, 145, 200 targets, 145 receptions, 1,900 yards, and 14 touchdowns. That's, like, the proper trajectory.
And that's what it
and
tells
And that's just
you.
Keeping pace with what he did last year.
That's just, for all his years. It's just that's just gradually going. Obviously, there's going to be a top-out mark, and even if he tops out at what he did last year, that's pretty dang good.
Yep.
But we haven't seen him hit that plateau yet, so that's what you have to go with. The interesting thing is you look at his yards per reception, 12.6 in 20, 13.9 in 21, 12.7 in 22, and 13 in 2023. So he's right in that same range.
Yeah.
So he catches the same amount yards per reception, right? So the only things that can increase are his targets.
That's a great yards per reception.
It's a massive. Yeah. If his targets increase, he's going to keep getting better. So he just needs the ball more. And if he gets that, he's going to have a better season.
And the other big stat here is his catch percentage specifically. You just look at his year, 67% year one, 66% year two, 69%
Hello.
Nice year three, 75% year four.
Catching that's, 3 out of 4 passes.
That's amazing.
Ad, what do you got?
Okay, so I'm gonna go 201 for his targets.
Oh, you fucking don't you?
I just priced it right.
Price is righted me.
And he's gonna do 150 receptions, 151. I think he's only gonna get 14 TDs, but I think he's going to. I think he's gonna knocking on that 2,000 yard door.
Oh, what though?
I think he's gonna eclipse 2,000 yards.
You gotta. I need a number.
2012.
Great year.
Good year.
World ended.
No, and you know what? It's 250 yards off from 1750, rounding up to
very 2000. Doable. Very doable.
So you just add on, that's 50 extra yards for those first 6 games.
That's not hard to do.
Yeah.
He's going to do it. My stat lines, I mean, it's pretty much fallen right around where you guys said. I think 200 plus targets, I'll go 202.
Okay.
Damn it.
No!
Now you... Well, you know what? That's the worst thing 3 Price is Rights people could do is go 200, 201, 202. Well, 202 now... You all lose unless he gets more than 202.
Yeah. But everyone does, because if you go under...
That's what I mean. So he has to get 202 plus, which is like, that'd be very impressive if he has that many targets. Receptions, I'm going to flirt with about 140. I think yards is where I could see an increase. I'm going to go 1950 for yards. And I'm going 17 tugs, man.
Okay. Ooh. Out of Ant's stat, would you rather see him get... obviously, I think I know what the answer is. Would you rather see him get 2,100 yards, 12 touchdowns, or 1,800 yards and 17 touchdowns?
Oh, that's a good call. I want him to break some records there and be the top number one receiver in the entire league. But if I want a little bit of less touchdowns, because I think I want to see the ball spread out a little bit more. Some of our receivers,
maybe
Fergie's going to eat some of that up. I think B Cooks is going to have a couple of those, and then hopefully Stevens or one of our other wide receivers. We don't know who our wide receiver 3 is.
So what's your answer?
More yards.
I think I'm actually touchdowns are sexy for fantasy football, but 2,100 yards is that's. Megatron couldn't do that. Like even Megatron with his pace with an extra game didn't get that.
Well,
so.
We could also just say 2,000 to bring it closer. But I think I agree.
So what is the
record and how many
1900 yeah. something?
It's like close to 2,000.
Close to 2,000.
Okay, so let's just say
in
this
16 games. Though.
Okay. Well, let's just see. It would be great to see him break the record within
16 games.
16 games.
1964 and 2012.
So if he
end
hit,
of the year.
So that would put him
end of the world.
If CeeDee Lamb. If CeeDee Lamb had 2,100 yards, that's putting him breaking the record.
Let's say 2,000.
Okay, so
to make it more reasonable.
I think I'm going to go. Fuck, that's tough. 12 touchdowns still. You said 2,000 yards and 12 touchdowns.
Yeah, same amount.
I think I still got to go with that. The yards plus the amount of touchdowns is still really good. That you're still sure he didn't improve on touchdowns, but that's 250 more yards.
Yeah, so, and that like. It's soup. I'm assuming that these aren't going to be like, these are going to be meaningful yards, first down yards.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so I think in terms of like quality of offensive play, the yards mean more and those touchdowns can come from other players. Like,
yeah,
you getting into the red zone more often, then there's just more.
There's more. Zeke's there now.
Zeke's there. Yeah.
He's going to poach a couple.
Yeah.
Guaranteed.
Yeah,
Zeke is still going to score on the goal line.
Anything 5 yards within 5 yards, give it to Zeke. Ball.
Yeah. Let's just also say, what's an encore? We just want to see him showing up in those first 6 games,
doing what he's done his whole career.
And actually, you know what? He hasn't shown. It wasn't his fault for not showing up.
It wasn't. I swear.
That is the answer right there. The encore is he starts off the season the way that he. Kind of ended those last 11 games.
Which the funny thing is, if he would have played those first 6 games like his last 11, his encore, it would be impossible for him to beat that, I think. So it's opened it for him not playing those first 6 games has given him a chance to build off of an insane season.
You'd have to go back to the tape to see exactly what he was doing and who was more at fault in those.
Well, I don't mean anything.
Games.
Well, they didn't throw him the ball.
They threw it. You can
see it. The fault is they didn't. Even if he's one-on-one, or you still got to give CeeDee Lamb, we were preaching it most of the year, 10 targets a game. Yep. You have to do that. He broke Cowboy franchise records. He had an amazing season. He had one of the best Cowboys receiving records or seasons of all time. And I just hope if he can build off that at all, that's a great encore. I think that's as good. That's all we hope for an encore is that he builds off it.
Yeah, and he and
signs in the preseason.
Year five, six, seven, that's your kind of generally, depending on how old the player is, the wide receiver is when he's drafted, but generally when they come to the NFL, year five, six, seven, that's the, those are your peak years. You're going to be peaking in those years, and then you might run plateau for, you know, 5 years in a row after that. So I'm not saying that he's going to have a huge fall off, but this is the year where it's like he's entering the beginning stages of peakness.
Yeah.
Of the CD peak.
Yeah.
CD's peaking.
I don't think that he's hit it yet, and that's the beautiful thing.
Well, guys, that was a great episode. We touched on a lot of things. Man, we're so goddamn close to meaningful football and just meaningful. Woo! I mean, it's all meaningful talk because we love talking about the Dallas Cowboys. But, guys, you guys feeling good right now about all the
feeling
we're
sexy.
Gearing up? We're trending in the right direction, just like the Cowboys.
I love solving problems every week with you guys.
We do, okay? And we're the only ones that do it. And we
you almost became a Philadelphia Eagle there for a second.
You guys.
Hey, you guys.
Come back, Alex. Come back.
And we don't do it in Jones. Cheesesteak. We don't do it in Jones talk. We say what the hell we mean. Who wants to tell somebody something?
If you know anybody out there who's not a Cowboys Can Fan fan,
better
go and lift your middle finger up and you tell them to go fuck themselves!
Crack me, got them.
Just the most hardcore call out.
Yeah, like the. I can't wait till we have enough. We can just edit them all together.
Yeah. We love you.